Matthew 2, 1 through 6. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people of Israel.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Rory. Well, I invite everyone in the family to gather around, to come close as you can to see the screen. I'm going to continue telling the story from the last 2 weeks. The story is especially for kids. I see that Caleb and Rivka have counted 12 stars in the Advent Reader. I'm wondering if anybody else has counted 12 stars. You can let me know in the chat box. So this story, as I said, is especially for kids, but I'm inviting all the youth and the adults to listen in as well and to enter in with childlike wonder. We are allowing the children to lead us into a new way of seeing and hearing and understanding this season. We remember last week that Rivka reminded us of our earthiness by saying that Jesus' mother most likely had bouts of vomiting during her pregnancy with Jesus. It was a good point. We don't want to lose the importance that Jesus was human, that we are human, and that Jesus being birthed validates our humanity. So thank you, Rivka. So today we're going to enter in with childlike wonder. I'm going to adjust my screen so we can see the story elements. I'm going to pull up my chair as I tell this story. This is the season of Advent, the time we get ready to celebrate the mystery of Christmas. This is the time we are all on the way to Bethlehem. But who will show us the way? The prophets. Prophets listen to God so they can show us the way. Do you remember our prophet Isaiah? Isaiah was a prophet who listened and spoke the word of God. He said that one day the Messiah would be born, and the Messiah would be a light shining in the darkness. This is what Isaiah said. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone." Now this first candle is the candle of the prophets. It reminds us that prophets like Isaiah listened to God so they can show us the way to Bethlehem. Well, let's enjoy the light of the prophets. Mary and Joseph are on the way to Bethlehem as well. They can show us the way. They have a secret. An angel came to them and said, "Do not be afraid, but be joyful. You will have God's special son. You will name him Jesus." So here is Mary. Do you remember Mary? And here is Joseph and the donkey, who are all on the way to Bethlehem, where Jesus will be born. Now the second candle
is the candle of the Holy Family. It reminds us not to be afraid, but to be joyful on the way to Bethlehem. So let's enjoy the light of the Holy Family. The Magi are on the way to Bethlehem. They can show us the way. The Magi saw a special star in the sky, a star for a king. They followed that star to Bethlehem, bringing gifts to the newborn king. They were gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Put the Magi back there, and they're supposed to be up front. Let's move Isaiah down the road, and Mary and Joseph and the donkey down the road. Now we'll get to the Magi. They're on the journey to Bethlehem as well. And here is their camel. They journeyed on camels. So this third candle is the candle of the Magi. And it reminds us of gifts. God's gift of Christ, the newborn king. So let's now enjoy the light of the Magi. So I'm going to ask some wondering questions now. And like we did the last few weeks, invite parents to unmute so we can hear the kids answering these questions. So you can unmute now, and we want to be able to hear the kids answer the questions, or if we can't hear them, parents, you can answer them. So I wonder, how did the Magi feel when they saw the special star for a king? I wonder how the Magi felt when they saw that special star for the king.
Excited, says Caleb.
Excited?
Scared. I think the Magi would have felt excited.
Excited as well, yes, lots of excitement. But I wonder how they knew the star was special and others just saw a star. I wonder, how did they know the star was special?
It was bigger and brighter.
It was bigger and brighter. Maybe that's how they knew it was special. Claire, did you have something? Did Elliot thought what?
Confused, but they didn't want to be on the microphone.
So perhaps they were confused. And I wonder if it was hard for them to find the special king. Do you think it was hard for them to find the special king?
Yes.
And I wonder why the Magi brought gifts. I wonder why they brought gifts along with them.
Because he was a king?
Because he was a king?
Because he was a king. I wonder if that's the reason.
Because it's his birthday.
Because it's his birthday. So you bring gifts when someone's born, when you celebrate a birthday.
It's the holy child.
Say that again, Rivka.
Holy child.
They brought gifts for the child because he was a child. That's a good reason. How about this question? I wonder what it's like to be a baby and a king. What would that be like?
Like a kid, which is a king?
Yeah, what's that like? A kid who's a king.
Cool.
Really cool? That's pretty special, isn't it?
Yeah.
A little baby being a king. Pretty cool. Anybody else? And I wonder what kind of king that this little baby will be. And if you would like to live
under the special rule of this king?
Yeah.
Would you like to? Caleb and Rivka would. I wonder what kind of king this little baby will be. What does anybody think?
A ruler.
A ruler?
A great king.
A great king, says Pippa.
Loving.
A loving king. Those are some really good wonderings. Thank you for sharing. Now I have a few more questions, this time for the older kids and for the youth. You guys can join in as well. Can anyone tell me, you older kids and youth, who the Magi are? I mean, you've heard this story many more times than the little ones. Can you explain to the kids what this word Magi means? Who are the Magi? I think Olivia's getting ready to share.
From what I've heard, the word Magi means great scholar or good teacher. So the Magi were people who knew a lot about the scriptures and who looked at the stars. And when they saw the bright star in the sky appear, they looked at the scripture and they realized, oh, this must be because a king is being born.
That is true. Thank you, Olivia. That the parts where she talks about the Magi being great scholars. So people would think, oh, maybe these Magi were philosophers, were scholars, were scientists. Does anybody else have any other explanation of the Magi? Does Rivka know? I see her raising her hand.
It's probably a Magi. It's probably nothing but just three kings.
Can you interpret that, Mikkel? What is it? You didn't quite hear. It's nothing but...
Magi, it's probably nothing but three kings.
Oh, three kings.
Yes.
Yes, that is true. The Magi could have been royalty. That's true. Some people thought maybe they were of a priestly tribe. Or maybe they were royal people. Maybe they were just very educated scholars. They were definitely astronomers. And at that time, if you were an astronomer, you would also be an astrologer, which would mean you would make predictions about the future by looking at the stars. They could have been philosophers who interpreted dreams. They would maybe have been magicians. So people are make speculations of who these Magi are. They most likely came from Persia or Arabia. And they observed nature to explain future events. So they were like scientists. Okay, I have a second question now for the youth. Older kids and youth, especially the scientists among us. Does anyone know what this bright star could have been? Has anyone studied it? Do you know what the scientists or these astrologers or astronomers were actually looking at?
Jupiter and Saturn.
Jupiter and Saturn. How did you know that? That's fantastic. Yes. Does anybody else have any guess or any understanding?
Yeah.
Pippa?
The conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn.
Well, you guys are smart. So as I was studying this, there were three different possibilities of what this star could have been. Some people thought, oh, maybe it's a supernova. Does anyone know what a supernova is? Yeah, I had to do a bit of study too, Rivka. So a supernova is when a faint or a distant star explodes, and so there's more intense light, and you can even see the star in the daytime. So some people thought maybe this star was a supernova, but there's no historical record of seeing supernovas around this time. So the second possibility is that it could have been a comet. Does anybody know what a comet is?
When comets come close to the sun, when they are orbiting around the sun or the earth, they can be really, really bright. So it could have been a comet. And there was, on record, Halley's Comet was in 12 BC. So some people think, oh, maybe it was a comet. But some people think, oh, that's too early for the birth of Jesus. So the third possibility is what some of you already know, that it's this conjunction between Jupiter and Saturn. And when they combine, then something really bright and special happens. And this happened three times in 7 BC, Jupiter and Saturn coming into conjunction. And at this time, Jupiter was considered a royal or kingly planet. And Saturn was sometimes used to represent the Jews. So that could be an obvious prediction or conclusion that a new king of the Jews was about to be born when they saw this conjunction, special star in the sky. Okay, I have one last question for the older youth and for the adults as well. Have you experienced God in the study of science or in observing nature? Have you experienced God in studying nature, in science, in observing, in wondering about creation? You know, in general, our scientific systems and theories leave out the possibility of God. But is there anything that you have discovered or wondered that have led you to see God in science, in nature? Have led you to see God's trace or God's hand? What are the gifts that you have received through nature and science as these magi have received them? Does anybody have something that comes to mind? You can unmute to tell. What's that?
Yeah.
Claire.
I know it's really geeky, but the periodic table, the way that the electrons fit in atoms is just like amazing. Every time, I still remember in grade 9 when I first learned about the periodic table, just thinking it was like the coolest thing I had ever seen. And yeah, so now I'm a chemistry teacher, but yes. I just think it's fantastic. Yeah.
That's awesome, Claire. Thank you. Does anybody else see the hand and trace of God in science or in observing nature?
I mean, I could share too as a science teacher. I think everything that I teach and or know about science, everything is so complex. The cell isn't the most complex thing. And you go down to the DNA and that's really complex. And then you go down to the atomic level and that's very complex. And the fact that any of it could have come about by chance astounds me. Even when Christian scientists talk about, you know, evolution or anything that could have been just, oh, random events. I mean, there's no possible way for anything to be random. There is so much complexity to everything that, there has to be a designer behind it all.
Thank you, Lana. Complexity leading to wondering about God.
Oh. Agatha wrote in the chat box that God is extremely evident in math.
Ah, Agatha, can you tell us a little bit more? You can unmute or you can chat a little bit more in the explain how God is evident in math. That's something I need to know. I didn't like math that much.
It's hard to explain. I just, in the past few years when I do math, I find it really interesting how numbers can be like completely organized into, and I thought there has to, like, again, there, it's not random. And so there has to be some kind of divine decision on that.
Thank you, Agatha. Yeah, that is really fantastic to see the way it's organized. And so we see how it's not random, how it's designed. And I think that Sharon has been raising her hand. Sharon, did you want to share?
As a hobbyist, I'm not a chemistry or math teacher, but a couple of ways that I'm really inspired to see God's presence in science is first in the Fibonacci series, or it's also called the Golden Rule of Thirds. And by breaking things into thirds, we have perfect spirals, and that appears in our ear. It appears exactly the same pattern as in a seashell, exactly the same pattern in the cosmos. That this actually works by thirds, and that reminds me of the Trinity. It could be other numbers. It could have been sevens or something, but it's three. God triune revealing himself. And the second way, I think, is in quantum theory, when we see what we call dark matter or dark energy, because we do not understand it. But the latest theories are really showing us that things simultaneously appear and then neutralize themselves, which is what actually is holding the electrons in sync. And I'm reminded of Christ. He is in all things, holding all things together. And I imagine that itself is the Spirit of God moving all the way through us, even right down to the atoms, between the atoms. God is holding all things together.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you. It's beautiful. And Lau is writing in the chat box about, I'll just read it. He says, I think that man is the greatest proof of God's creation. No amount of science or tech can do what man can. A person could beat the computer at one time in calculation before the supercomputer. So speaking of the wonder of being human. And the Youngs are sharing with us the vastness of space and the universe, just pointing us towards God. Thank you. I see Carrie with a blue hand up. Carrie, share with us.
Well, those are all amazing examples. I think I see and sense God every day a lot in nature. And I heard something on the CBC yesterday and I just went, wow. And it was that insects are the most understudied of all the species, but that they found out that spiders have personalities. So I just thought, that's amazing. That is amazing. That's got to be God's plan. Who would have thought? Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I got to figure out what my spiders in the house, what personalities they have. Thank you, Carrie. And Jennifer Barnett is saying, God is extremely evident in the sunrises and the beautiful North Shore Mountains and the mighty Fraser River. Amen. Okay, well, thank you everyone for sharing. Seems like we can talk a lot about this. Oh, thank you, Barb. I have one more from Barb and then we're gonna move on. We're gonna be here all day. Barb Phillips says, I see God in my garden. Every plant you see begins from a tiny seed. Yeah, it's an incredible, incredible miracle, isn't it? Seeds becoming huge plants. So this is the season of Advent, the time we give and receive sacred gifts. And I wonder what sacred gifts you have given and received. I wonder if one of the gifts given to us during this Advent and Christmas season is the darkness. No, I don't generally see the night darkness as gift, especially when it seems to be midnight as we're eating dinner and so dark out. And I try to put on all the lights in the house, or I try to fight the darkness, or I try to survive the winter darkness. That's the language I use, counting the days till December 21st, rather than seeing darkness as gift. And I wonder if there's a way that we can find gift in our winter weather and nature
if we can enter darkness, if we can embrace darkness in this season. So if you go up to the mountains or you go to a rural remote area where there's no city lights, where there's not even ski slope lights, and we're in total darkness, we do have the possibility of experiencing the tremendous gift of the night sky, of the stars, of the moon, of the night sounds, of the night silence. And I wonder if the darkness can teach us a new way of seeing and understanding. I wonder about seeking gifts in the darkness in our lives this season, in the darkness of our spiritual lives, of our emotional lives, of our relational lives. I wonder what gifts we can give and receive in these places where we experience darkness. We may need to seek the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to be able to see the light within the night.